get ready, people, for the next 3 to 4 hours, however long she wants to go. It is now the Truth Brigade on Freedom Fighter Radio.
Wow, well, thank you and welcome, everyone. The goal of this show is to offer to the rest of America. I get emails and questions, very valid questions, by people who want to know what's going on every day. And so I thought that I would make tonight their show where they can call in and ask specific questions. And I'm serious. Anything goes. Anything you want to ask, no question is too difficult, because I know that there are people that do want to hear some answers to certain things. So this is actually everybody else's show.
And don't forget, we still have those audio files on standby. I know your Skype's not working, Christy, but you know I'm ready to go if any of the audio files that you direct me or music. So it's all yours.
What I would like to do, since this is about that story, I know some of the things that a lot of people don't know are the chain of events, because they've got everybody thinking that this is a he said, she said relationship gone bad. And what we need to make very clear right here is that that's not the case. There is something much more sinister to it and much more detrimental to American society as we know it. So what I would like to do first off is the beginning of the breakdown, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with, is the canyon. And I was asked to lie for Jeff Schwilk, and I said no. So I became a traitor. A couple days after that was when he beat me up. So I'd like for you to go to that audio clip, because his claims are that I attacked him and he has 6 witnesses. And right after that, we're going to go to the phone call that he left for me, the apology message, right after he beat me up. So if you can play those, and then we'll go on.
Here we go. This is and message me if I do hit the wrong one on the apology message.
The one where he beat me up. It's February 4th.
What happened at Jeff's house? Here we go.
That would be it.
That's what you told me. You told me you don't like my videos. You don't like the way I do it. And I you're mad because you won't see your turn.
Okay, so we left. I got home. About an hour later, I received the following message. So if you can play that. And if you're listening, please listen to these words, because immediately after that, they're going to play a message that went to my mother 3 hours and 15 minutes later. So this is the message to me.
Received February 4th at 8:48 p.m.
Brokerage day, this is Jeff, and it's 8:45. And I want to call and apologize for what happened in my house. I feel very badly that that had to happen. I apologize. I'm very sorry that happened. I'm sorry. I don't want the benefit to see if I'm not done again. Obviously. It was not happy with that. I hope you grace your video. There's no point in it. I hope you don't post it, because you might will destroy the San Diego Minutemen, the strongest Minutemen group in the nation. And, you know, we have pulled all your videos off. You can check the site. They will be off. They will never be put back on. They are gone forever. We use your videos that you took on our illegal aliens website. We should have taken them off earlier when you asked. I just felt those videos were for the group, not me, for the group. For all the work that Daniel's done on that website, many, many dozens and dozens of hours to make that site the best possible showcase for your videos. And that's what we want to showcase, your videos. And, you know, I've always praised your work. You've done fantastic videography. And I'm sorry we can't continue with that. But, I apologize. I hope you will think of the group. And I hope you'll find a way to help this movement to continue on. And I hope we can, end this amicably, because that's all I ever wanted. I'm not trying to hurt you. I don't have any hard feelings against you. I really enjoyed our time together, and I just want to, I think we both should move on for the sake of both of us. So take care, and thank you.
All right. Well, he's apologizing for something that he didn't want my kids to see, so apparently at least a little bit of what I said might have been true. Now, this next message, please remember, was sent to my mother at midnight. That last message was sent to me at 8:48, as you heard. So let's move into this next message, and I don't know, you tell me if it seems like there's a little contradiction going on. So, all right, my mommy's message, please.
I just had a major inside my house. Your daughter came up here. On my house. Unnoticed. Presumably wishing me a happy birthday. I let her in a few hours ago. I don't know why. I shouldn't have. Oh, goodness, she's psycho. She came in here. She came in here, and we had other people here. She made a big scene, and she went off on me. She demanded her videos be pulled down off of our site, which those videos were filmed with a camera that we bought. Marcia, that video camera you gave her for Christmas, she already had one. Okay, she didn't want to tell you. She already had the exact same camera. We bought it on Christmas, on Thanksgiving Day, after we ate at your place for the next whatever. Or maybe the night, I don't remember, one of the days. We bought that camera, and I paid part of that money, about a third of it, out of SDMM, San Diego Minutemen Fund. I did that because she was going to film for San Diego Minutemen, and everything was going to be photos for the group. Then she got the camera from you. Now she has two cameras. She tried to return one, and all the stuff with it. Anyway, your daughter needs to be hospitalized. I went to her, she went off, she went crazy, she went to my house, she threw out a video camera, and filmed it. It's not that much. If I remember from my house, she wouldn't leave. If you have any questions, call me back, 760-525-1655. I'm very upset. Your daughter needs hospitalization. She's out of control. She's trying to bring down a group of 375 patriotic Americans that have worked very hard for the education. She's destroying it by herself, one person. he bring us down, and he needs to be home. And you need to get to the wrong place. Somebody has to get her on the place. You need a doctor. She's a sick woman. She's put her kids through hell. Bring them in here for this crap. And they had to witness me physically removing her from the house. I'm very, very upset. That's not your fault, but you need to get her yourself. Thank you. Call me back. Thank you.
Okay. I hope I'm not the only one laughing, but that's kind of funny. All right, so this is February 4th. Now, February 5th, as I said before, I woke up to all of those press releases and emails about how dangerous, delusional, and violent I am. And so this is the morning of February 5th. Also on February 5th, he went to the police station to tell SDPD, and this is public record in his search warrant, that if they really want to know what happened in the canyon January 27th, to look at my computer because Christy records everything. Okay. Also that day, he went to file a restraining order against me and a gag order to prevent me from ever talking about this. What else did he do that day? The restraining order, he told the police that I was really there. And what was the third thing he did that day? Oh, I can't remember anyways. And then called the police and told them I was delusional, suicidal, and had an arsenal. So the police actually showed up at my home about 10:30 that following evening to check on me and search my house. I did have a witness for that, and I have the incident number. But that was kind of weird. At the time, I thought, you know, I was flattered. Like, wow, somebody found out I got beat up and, you know, wanted to check on me or what? You know, it didn't really make sense at the time. But then the next day I woke up and my YouTube site, it had 98 videos at the time, was deleted. Now that's kind of weird because I found all my videos on the San Diego Minutemen website and two of their YouTube sites, the SDMM and Lucien Solaris. But in the message he, you know, said, yeah, Christy, you're right. We shouldn't have taken your videos. He not only had mine taken down and stolen for his use, he actually used them for profit. And in fact, the exact words, oh, you know what, I'm going to have to look it up to read it to you, the exact words, but it said something to the effect of, San Diego Minutemen used considerable time and resources to bring these open border anarchist goons on video to you. Please donate here so we can continue this effort. Okay, so the next day I woke up with, I heard a little barking and knocking at my door, go downstairs, and it's the police. Hi, good morning. Hi, do you remember me? Open the door. I just opened the door, and then they threw me in handcuffs, and what are you doing? So about a half hour later, when they let me see the search warrant as I'm handcuffed and they're searching my house, I found out that they were there searching for evidence of who was in the canyon January 27th. Now, I don't understand why somebody didn't just consider asking me, because I was more than prepared and willing to tell. And number two, I was on the front page of the Orange County Register. So it was impossible. I was there during the time that they said that this stuff happened. And anyways, so my house got raided as the slanderous press releases continued to circulate by the tens of thousands, literally. And, you know, before I knew it, I basically woke up and everybody was afraid of me. I'd walk outside and people would run in their homes like, oh, my God, there's that dangerous, violent, child abuser prostitute. Run, run, run. She's going to destroy the world. So that was kind of a slap in the face because I'd been working with these guys and produced how many, you know, over 100 videos at that time. you know, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was doing my best, and I was the only one exposing things and exposing things that America had to see. And if they really were Minutemen and wanted to benefit the country by showing the country what's coming to their neighborhood, it doesn't really make sense to me as to why they would want to take those videos down, other than the fact that they wanted to take credit for them, which actually they did publicly in the North County Times when they boasted being there that entire day and filming the event. So here I am, and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, that's all right. Jeff's just, you know, a little psychotic, no big deal, but there's thousands of other Minutemen that know what, you know, my intentions are good, and surely somebody will see what I've been doing and that I was sincere. And, you know, and I just kind of thought that when men beat up on women, especially single mothers, and attack them daily, that the real men would stand up and say, no, this is wrong. But instead, they did not. They did not stand up for me. In fact, they turned their back on me. And then I started hearing everywhere that I'm a traitor, I'm a loon, I'm a prostitute, and I'm every other name in the book. So how the Canyon incident was portrayed in the news initially was, oh my gosh, this big, important Minuteman videographer spokesperson, Christy Tchaikovsky, Aryan Princess, is vandalizing camps. Okay. Now, and what's funny is I told him that very day, I said, well, yeah, they're going to go through all my video and find out that I wasn't there and, you know, just promise me that you'll do a follow-up story. And you can even go through every single video I have on my computer. This will prove that I'm innocent. Well, that never happened. So, I mean, that part was just basically a media show and an orchestrated media event. So what that did was obviously fuel more wars. Is, you know, Minutemen are so bad. They're going in and vandalizing people and terrorizing people. And so I took a lot of flack for that. In fact, I couldn't even leave my home without getting spit on or finding another scratch in my car or having another flag torn down or having other people following me and provoking violence. Well, as time went on, it was pretty obvious that nobody wanted to solve that so-called crime, because if they had, well, first of all, you don't start with somebody that's not there. And second of all, when there is somebody that did know what was going on who was willing to tell you, why wouldn't you talk to him? So police ignored me. Then this detective, Ed Lane, from Oceanside, just got thrown onto this case of did Jeff beat me or did he not? Well, he refused to watch the video, and I even have him in writing saying that he will not investigate. And it just basically went downhill from there, because everywhere I go, cops were actually conspiring against me on video. See, they had to arrest me for something, because they're not going to orchestrate this big thing and then have this one innocent little girl beat him. And I double-dog-dared him from day one. Cool. Yeah, check out my video. Great. You give me a lie detector test. Come on, punk. What are you waiting for? So that didn't really make Detective Lenhart and Jeff Schwilk and all these other people very good, especially since they had unlawfully stole my property under the color of the law. But nevertheless, they did. So I did not have any proof of any of these things that I'm telling you about now. I did not have any video, any pictures, any emails, any documents. It was me and my voice against the big, strong leader. So I think I've done enough talking. I'm going to turn it over to callers now, because I think we've thoroughly gone through. We've presented the evidence. We have all the links on the blogs, and I hope everyone did their homework like we asked them to. And I'm here to answer any unanswered questions. So it looks like there's a caller from Pennsylvania. Is that right?
Pennsylvania. You're on with Christy on Freedom Fighter. I'm Lady Fighter.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, Pennsylvania.
How are you doing, Christy? I was the one who sent you some news.
Who is this?
I was the one who sent you the emails when the mayor of San Diego.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you are a little bit familiar with this story. And I want to thank you for all the hard work you do and that incredible information you've passed on. It's definitely come in handy. So thank you.
I was listening to what you have to say there. And I believe that you've certainly approved that Jeff Swill does not have the leadership or the character to be in charge of the Minutemen of San Diego. And I think your issue should be brought up to the attention of Jim Gilchrist. See if he'll do anything for you.
Well,
and
see,
also,
funny thing. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but what makes this story so amazing is that I did go to Gilchrist. I went to Simcox. I went to SOS. I went to all of the, because I was working with these other guys before I met Jeff. And
yeah.
So I figured, well, no big deal. I'll just go back to doing my own thing, right? And I was working for Gilchrist and Simcox and SOS. They all turned their back on me, and I do. I documented all of those communications, but they turned their back on me, and, oh, just let it go. It's okay to do this.
Well,
yeah,
I think you definitely
actually took his side, and in fact, when I got shot at by another Minuteman and sought help by what I thought was the Minuteman leadership, I was a liar and a traitor, and they organized an attempt throughout the country to get every single person to stay away from me, convince them that I'm going to destroy the universe, the entire country, in an effort to silence me. And it did work. Many people would not talk to me. And that's a funny thing, because all of this evidence and communications and me begging for help from these leaders that I had loved and respected, I mean, I had Gilchrist and Simcox as my idols listed, you know, on my MySpace. I didn't have Marilyn Monroe or Gandhi or, you know, I had them. So it was quite a shock to me that he had so much power to orchestrate basically every single person. And, in fact, we have press releases that Jeff wrote and Gilchrist, Simcox, Braun, Immigration Watchdog, and SOS all signed. Yeah, saying I'm not welcome at any patriotic American event ever in America. I must wear a bulletproof vest if anybody sees me, and they will destroy me. These are all in writing in their words.
Well, with what you're doing on the radio, I think you're presenting your case in a very strong way, and bringing up the issue that Jeff Swill does not have the character to be a leader in the Minutemen organization. There is no doubt from what you've said there that the way he's behaved shows that he does not have the character or leadership to run that run his part of the organization. And it's unfortunate that the other leadership did not listen to you and took his side, or I don't know what they did since I wasn't there. You were party to it. But it's a shame they did not have an open door for you to be able to talk to them. And I think what you're doing on the radio is a very good way for you to address the recourse, and maybe some of the leadership will finally listen to you and deal with this situation. If not, they're going to be in some major lawsuits over this clown.
Yeah, and you know, the problem is that it's not just Jeff trying to hurt me or a he said, she said, because in this last over 10 months, I've been able to do a little bit of research myself. And what, unfortunately, we all need to understand here, and my hopes after this show, I hope this is the end of this particular story, but what I would like to focus on is the infiltration of the Patriot Movement and COINTELPRO and agent provocateurs and how they work to teach others what to look out for and how to tell when these people really are on your side. Now, somebody like me,
right,
who had produced over 300 videos for the movement, I mean, how do you know who I am?
From your work on the videos.
Okay. Yet they keep going around and shutting me down everywhere. Now, I'm pretty sure that some of my videos, I mean, people in Kansas or Ohio who don't know what they're what's coming to their town would like to know what's going on in the schools and the government and La Raza and the capital of Aztlan. Nobody else did those things. I was actually a victim of COINTELPRO for almost a year before I even knew what it was. So after living this and these attacks and asking so many times, well, gosh, how could they turn their back on me? Wait a minute. I've done everything for these guys. I didn't get it. But it's something much more sinister than destroy this psycho woman. What it is that they're not on our side, okay? If they were on our side, they would not suppress my over 300 videos to the rest of America. They would not waste time, literally 24/7, calling Child Protective Services, FBI, different police stations, calling my mother, my church, my neighbors, my work, 24/7 slandering me and contacting every single group in America if they really were fighting against illegal immigration. Now, another thing that I think people need to ask themselves, or at least, ask yourself. In April 2005, we had Simcox and Gilchrist come up and say, hey, send me your money and we're going to close the border, right? And so, of course, everybody believes in that. Yes, let's close the border. I mean, I drove out there millions of times to build fences and I wanted to do anything I could. But here we are 2.5 years later, and are they at the border? No. Are they introducing new legislation or something productive? No. Are they getting candidates to run for people who are really going to do the job? No. What they're doing is collecting, and I'm just speaking of MMP alone, just on website donations that can be verified is over $3,000 a day, just on website donations, just to send out more mass mailers. Oh, by the way, the same consulting firm as La Raza, okay, all right. So they're being funded by the same people. They found a way to profit off the problem. They have no interest in solving the problem, okay? There are many good Minutemen out there. In fact, I'd say 90% of the activists are great, wonderful, decent, giving people. That's why we volunteer, right?
Right.
But, and a lot of them don't live with their leaders or live right on the border and in the midst of everything like I was. I mean, I worked everywhere from here to Laredo and in between. So I actually witnessed, a lot of things with my own eyes. So the people in Connecticut seeing Jim Gilchrist on TV saying, send me more money, they're like, yeah, cool, close the border. Good job, dude. Without knowing that, or even considering the possibility that not everybody who leads any movement is actually sincere. I mean, who started the KKK? Who started the Black Panthers? I mean, that's what they want. They want to destroy and divide and control the population, and they want to encourage the police state on our streets. They actually have people convinced that if you go scream at illegal aliens and throw rocks at them and step on the street, that you're saving your country. And in my opinion, it's counterproductive and actually enforces their police state plans. It gives these cops that have been trained by our federal law enforcement the opportunity to use all these new tools and toys like the sound weapons or how many taser guns do we hear of all the time and just exercise their police abuse to let the public know you will conform, you will obey, you will do what I tell you. So we'll compare Minutemen and La Raza, who we've already established on paper that are funded by the same people. La Raza is telling their people that we're the enemy. The Minutemen are telling us that the illegal aliens are the enemy. And while the New World Order is, pushing their agenda through with all these other issues that they blinded us to on purpose. They keep us focused on this one issue and the wrong enemy, and nobody goes to the solution or the root. Why is this going on? It's going on because we are blindly following our leaders and not asking questions, and some of our leaders are not who they say they are.
I agree.
New York, you're on with Christy. You have a question about
the attacks on Christie involving Schwelk and the Minutemen, threat to death, stolen material, and police corruption.
Yes, I do. Hi, Christie.
Viking. Go ahead, Viking.
Okay. Hey, Viking. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, but I'm actually out here in Chulawana. Very close.
Thank you.
Yes,
nice
I am.
To me. Well, what would you like to know tonight?
Well, I would like to know how come all these so-called leaders of the movement are very quick to jump on you, chastise you, condemn you, make you seem like agent number one on the most wanted list, and then they have a person down on the border who has got to be probably one of the most disruptive persons around. I think you know who we're talking about. And, no, this guy is the head of this little renegade group called the Mountain Minutemen.
Wait a minute.
You can name names, Christy. Let people know they can use names in the show.
Me?
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can name. This is uncensored, un-FCC regulated. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll just use his border name, Little Dog.
I know him very well.
Yeah, I know. We both know him very well, don't we?
we had a few interesting days down there.
Well, why don't you tell them what we went through down there not too long ago after we tried to go and question him about a few things that were said. And I'd like to know why he can get away with all these very unlawful things that he did, and then you are being accused of all these other things that nobody has any proof. Nobody's brought any kind of documented evidence against you. I'd just like to know why this can happen.
You know, I keep asking myself that same question as well. But see, that's where it boils down once again to people purposefully set into organizations to disrupt the movement. Now, what we experienced, and I hope that the listeners out there have already heard about it or read about it, and if you haven't read about it, please go to my blogspot, truthbrigadelovesronpaul.blogspot.com, because there you will have all the links to direct evidence of what we're saying. But the incident you are referring to, Viking's referring to right now, he was with me when Little Dog shot at us, which apparently isn't a crime if you don't have a hole through your chest. It's... you know, so
yeah.
That next time I feel like scaring someone, I'll just, like, shoot, you know, a couple feet away from their body just to send
Well, let me ask you, if he was successful, would he have been charged if we're lying there dead?
I'd be in jail for the rest of my life, of course, for some terroristic hate crime. But when people are trying to get rid of somebody that may be effective or may have information they don't want out there, it's not a crime anymore. Well, you know what? I want you to do the talking here, because you also, like the other callers, met me through my videos. And
exactly.
You were a few hours away. So we had never met in person, and then we met down at the border.
Mm-hmm.
We're down there a few times. You were hearing all this slander and stuff about me and how I'm this big liar and I lie about everything and I only want to hurt people.
Exactly.
And so my story, of course, was, no, I'm telling the truth, here's the proof, and the police aren't listening. And
well,
I know that you've seen that evidence already,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to tell the callers, how did you, or the listeners, how did you feel to experience the inaction by Deputy Hobson and the Sheriff Department after you yourself also got shot at that night? It wasn't just me, guys. Okay.
Right.
And so you got to witness with your own eyes how serious this COINTELPRO really is, and how deep these and far and wide these tentacles go. So you were there. So you talked about it from your perspective, and tell us how that made you feel to watch the police in action after we just got shot at.
Oh, you mean the police in inaction, I think is a better way to put it. I have, like you said, my first contact with you was going on one of the anti-immigration group, anti-illegal immigration group's websites, and I had gotten into watching your videos. They were pretty compelling to watch. I I would stay up late at night. I'd have to get up early in the morning to work, but I'd stay up at 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning just hooked on your videos, because it was entertaining, because you were getting to the truth of things, and you were getting right in there and getting to the point and trying to get these people to get this across, what's happening to our country. And you were being bullied by the police. I remember one policeman down in San Diego that kept walking towards your camera as you were backing up, and he kept telling you to get the camera out of his face. And I saw that, and I'm going, well, why is this guy walking into your camera and then telling you to do this? So, okay, I thought that was pretty unusual, pretty rotten and everything. But, you can see it so many times. But when we were down there, and we went up there and tried to talk sense with this guy down at the border, we were leaving, and the guy fired probably anywhere from 3 to 5 shots at us. There were double taps involved. I know the sounds. I know what to expect. I know what to hear. But we went down there, and we finally got through to him down there on the radio, on the telephone. And this deputy sheriff met us down there at the Border Patrol station. We pulled up, and the guy says, well, it's pretty close to my quitting time. I'm not going to really write a report tonight. And I think you looked at me, and I looked at you, and I'm going, what? And he's, yeah, and
to drive up to him for that, because that's some pretty crazy incriminating, damning evidence. Nope, he doesn't have guns up there.
Yeah, it was amazing. He goes, well, first of all, they said that they don't have guns up there, and they'll take a lie detector test. Well, number one, it was just you.
Can I just want to interrupt you? Can you hold that thought? What I'd like to do right now is, since you led us up to that point, I want Jim to play the clip of what happened with Sheriff Hobson.
Well, you said I could just go right there. What's next? Just right here? Oh, I thought I needed to be next to you to make a report.
The other ones are going to take a polygraph test. What is your last name?
C.Z.
Your first name?
Christie, C.H.R.I.S.T.I.E. And that's when I tried to call the sheriff the first time, or the SCPD again. At 8:21 p.m. And he says he has no guns now? That's funny. Has no guns. That's freaking funny.
He had 2 weapons up there before.
He has a No. 1 Grand that he purchased right in front of my eye from a friend I know, and the .45 is what he just shot.
It's a Colt 1991 .45.
And the last time the sheriff came out of before, he hid his guns at the sex house.
Yeah.
Which is the reason he bought that gun. Which is the reason MCDC gave him a gun.
Hmm.
It was ridiculous.
I need to join MCDC, too. I need me again.
Maybe because it's me. I bet you that's what it is. Maybe you'll do anything if it's me, because I'm just crazy.
Wow, join a Minuteman and get a gun.
Is that the end of it?
Oh, I think that, guess he's doing his, he's grabbing his stuff. But we do have 2 more audios that you've yet to play from Schwill.
But we're going to finish this story and this caller first, okay? Can you continue to play the clip, and we can listen to what the sheriff said, pretty please?
Here we go.
He didn't have guns,
and
that's it, so it didn't happen, kind of thing.
Yeah, a little bit, not very much. Movie, scared and worried and all that. I'm fucking shaking, okay? I'm not used to getting shot at.
You guys haven't been worried. I don't see any holes in the door. How do you know that they were?
Oh my!
He was the only guy up there.
But how do you know the voice?
There's 3 witnesses, okay? So you're telling me I'm lying?
This thing is so overblown.
Overblown.
You guys try to get them in trouble. They try to get you in trouble.
Who's you guys? What are you talking about?
Are you willing to take a photograph of you?
Hell yeah! Right this second. Absolutely. Just like the video he made, what, a week ago, and then somehow blames it on someone else, and then, oh, yeah, we took it, but it's a joke, and
we know
what the heck? How many guys does he have to shoot? This is, look, are you serious? I mean, just because, what am I supposed to do? I have to be calm and talk about what's going on, and you're basically telling me I'm lying.
I've been around for just a few years.
What's your name?
H-O-B-S-O-N.
And I'm lying? Are you kidding me?
This isn't
Yeah, when do I take the polygraph test?
This is okay.
And he gets to take one, and the third witness gets to take one, and Little Dog gets to take one. Are you seriously saying this? This is San Diego. Oh, my God.
Okay.
You guys are unbelievable.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'll be sure to call you next time we need help.
You have a nice night.
Thank you, Mr. Hodgson.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Okay, that really happened, and I'm sure you can tell from the voice in the recording and the voice on the phone that's the same person. All right, Viking. So how did that make you feel to finally witness with your own eyes the inaction of the San Diego law enforcement?
Well, you know, how it made me feel, it was really chilling because, you know, I remember what you've been going through, Christy, you know, and I believe it and everything. It's just hard to fathom them the inaction that they were showing you. And then when this happened in my own eyes, I mean, I was there. I mean, I heard it. I mean, I sold him the damn shoulder holster that he put that .45 in. And the sheriff's telling me that he doesn't have a .45 up there. And, you know, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. Nobody ever contacted me. He didn't even want to talk to me and get my side of it. I wasn't laughing. Apparently, this guy doesn't realize that people handle stress differently. You, obviously, you know, when this was getting to you, I mean, it was kind of like a nervous-type laughter. You know, he doesn't know you from Adam, but yet he discounts it as being not real. I mean, it's just hard to believe. And nobody ever contacted me. They were supposed to call me the next day and get my side of what happened. Nobody ever contacted me. It's probably been shelved somewhere.
Wasn't it weird that he only wanted my name and information as if he already knew it was me, and once my name came up in the system, he was told, oh, no report, that's that delusional liar, she always does that.
Yeah, you must have like a little flag that pops up every time they bring your name up in the computer. Oh, okay, well, ignore her, or she's loony, or something like that. Well, goddammit, I was there. No, they didn't.
He did not even ask your name. He didn't even say bleep to you. And you're like, oh, I was shot at too.
Yeah, and I guess if you don't have bullet holes in your car and you're not lying there dead in a pool of blood, it didn't happen. You know, I mean, come on. And I know for a fact, you and I both, after this sunk in, after this guy drove off and we just sat there where he was for, what, an hour? And it was finally sinking in. I was getting a little rattled, and you were getting a little rattled. I mean, it's all delayed reaction from an incident like that happening. And I tell you, I was getting more and more pissed off. Nobody really wanted to do anything about it. At worst, that was assault with a deadly weapon. At the least, it was brandishing a firearm or intimidation with a firearm. I'm not a lawyer. I can't tell you, but a cop should know this stuff, and a cop should act on it. And he didn't. And it sounds like somebody's friend out there that doesn't really want to get on, maybe had a television show at home he wanted to go home and watch instead of doing his job. You know,
yes,
and it just...
Another time, the law enforcement just doesn't care about the victim and protects the criminal.
Well, it kind of makes me think the fix is in down there somehow. You know? I mean, somebody's able to do stuff down there over and over again. I mean, you and I have gone down there and tried to work with the guy a couple of times. He'd seem okay for a while. He'd get his, you know, he'd have a few incidents that would kind of make us all kind of roll our eyes at what he'd done. But then when he kind of went wacky, though. You know, that's the reason we went up to talk to him in the first place. He was making all these ridiculous charges on the Internet against you. And you'd gone up there, taking people up there for over a year and a half, trying to get people introduced to the border, get him some help up there. I, that the weekend, before all this, or a month before that, I donated money for gasoline to run his damn generator, to run his computer. And this guy, and then he turns on us like this, and then a month later he fires at us as we're leaving, as we have to turn your van around, going back down the hill. You get 10, 20 feet down the hill, and bam, 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 45 rounds go off. I didn't see him coming our way, but I sure as hell wasn't going to stay up there and wait for him to hit the van, were you? I don't think so. But I'm telling you, I saw it firsthand. I saw it firsthand, and it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember because you asked, why do they do that? And before, when we were communicating all the time, you were always like, why do they always treat you that way? Chicano Park, Vicente Fox,
yeah.
Border Angels, all of these places, why do they always treat you that way?
Yeah. Well, that's how I first got to meet you. I sent you an email. I said, boy, you're everybody's favorite target. How come? Yeah.
And here we go. It brings us back to what is so prevalent within the Patriot community that the average activist does not know about. And I'm going to ask you once again, Google COINTELPRO, agent provocateurs,
Chrissy,
gang stalking, and community-based harassment. Anyone who's listening, Google that and go to my blog and tell me if there's anything that's different.
Chrissy,
you're not immune. It can happen to anyone. So
I'd like to bring up a point here, too. I'd like to bring up a point here.
You still
about,
I just want to finish making sure that people understand the severity of this. It's not just a cop not taking a report. It's that we are being controlled. So anybody who's listening, arm yourself with knowledge. Look these things up. So go ahead, Mike.
I'd like to point out something, too. Following this incident, you know, before this, Little Dog was down on Jeff Schwilk. He was calling him Bikini Boy and all these other derogatory terms. So obviously he wasn't his good buddy. But it's funny, after this happened, after we had it on your forum that what happened here, we started getting attacked by people going up there. You shouldn't be going up there. It never really happened. It was one more of Christie's delusional things, filing a false report. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is bullshit. I was there. I heard it. I saw it. And then even Schwilk comes on his little email list or website or whatever the hell it is. And he's saying that we made it up and they should file a police report against us. And the police should come down and come down on us for making false charges. Well, you know, what the hell business is it of his, number one, to chime in with something like that when he doesn't know anything about the situation? All he knows is he's against you, and he's using that incident to try to make you look bad, try to make me look bad, like we're lying about the whole thing. And damn it, I was there. I heard the sounds. I saw the sounds. The guy, when we went up to talk to him, he didn't have the courage to even face us when we were going to ask him simple questions on why he was saying these things on the Internet. He cowered back in the corner of his little flea-bitten RV that he stays in up there. He didn't have the nerve to look us in the eye. And then when we left, had our backs turned to him, the guy fires rounds, and now we're at fault for trying to work things out with a guy that's obviously got some problems. And he's up there armed on the border, and then have some of his guys are actually even firing into Mexico. I mean, this is just unbelievable.
It was. And what was funny, because right before that was when they themselves made a video of them doing that with their night vision. And then once again, when they got in trouble for it and had to make the other two videos to make it look like a fake, they said that I made the video. And
exactly. They blamed
to sick my La Raza buddies on them, but I know for a fact that you were also there when Leland said, oh, yeah, we made it to send it to La Raza to send a message, and it's all about publicity. Yet they also used it as a publicity tool to defame me even more.
Yep.
You witnessed as well.
Well, you know, that's the thing. They sent me the email with that on there saying how to keep a Home Depot parking lot empty. And then I couldn't open it on my computer at home. And when I got up there that weekend, they showed it to me on the camera that somebody had donated to them and a night vision and a shotgun that was used in making that. And you know, and then they turn around and claim that you leaked it out. They posted it on their website. I saw the Border Patrol guy come down there and raise hell with them for having the sound on there.
I know.
Saying,
when he was Matt Casey asked me, you were also standing there when he said, how do you like my video? And I'm, well, you might want to consider editing a little bit. You know, and I could tell he was, because he started yelling at me, he was angry that I pat him on the back and say, good job. And this was the night before. And, but when his Border Patrol buddy comes up, take that stuff down.
Oh, he was pissed.
Immediately did it and then decided to blame it on me.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
It's a major double standard that they're trying to pull against you. And, you know, that's a good example of all this, all these charges that they come up with. It's all garbage. You know, it's really all garbage. And it just keeps snowballing and snowballing. And they've got these so-called leaders of the movement. I hate to tell you what kind of movement I think it is now after seeing this for over a year. And it's mind-boggling that they are allowing those types of people to run rampant down there and give the rest of the Minutemen that really want to go down there and help, that go down out of their own pocket like I do. I mean, I go down there, I spend thousands of dollars to volunteer to go down there on my own.
Yep.
And they're trying to pressure me into staying away from you and not believing you, and they're trying to give me some kind of an ultimatum, like, well, you're going to be labeled as a goon, and you're not going to be able to mingle with all the other, you know, closed border advocates. And you know, I'm thinking, excuse me, I'm a volunteer. I do this out of my own time, my own money, my own gas, and you're telling me what I can do down there? I don't think so, okay?
It shows how widespread and how connected these so-called leaders of separate organizations are. And what's really cool about how they beat me up is that, see, remember when they supposedly, Gilchrist and Simcox split, right? They supposedly had a fight and a different organization. That was just a means to reach out to more people. They're sitting behind closed doors right now, laughing, we sure fooled them, didn't we? Well, see, you know, and Schwilk was supposedly separate from MMP and MCDC, yet when they really needed to put the pressure on you and me and Freedom Fighter and many other people that they've attacked because they, oh, my God, talked to Christy the Loon.
My God.
They used their force together, signed a joint press release as if they were working together. We have definitely many months of email proof of them sending back and forth together, deciding of how they're going to get rid of me. And
well, you know, they use
like
they
that,
both use
so.
The, they both use the same fundraising organization. They both
exactly.
use the same, and they're supposed to be rival organizations.
Yeah, and they're also the same as La Raza. That's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well.
Well, you know, let me tell you, I used to be on a forum from Save Our State, and they started attacking you on there when they supposedly said that your name was not supposed to be mentioned by anybody on there. You would be banned and kicked off. Well, you know, when they started saying this whole deal with Little Dog and shooting at you never happened on their forum, I had to chime in, and I went in with both arms swinging. And I tell you, I didn't take any names, and by the time I was done, after a couple of nights, I was indeed banned for life. Oh, my God. Well, I'm a volunteer, and I don't give a damn if I'm banned.
Little Hitler wouldn't let you be part of his little club anymore.
I know. I had to turn in my jackboots. But,
Hello? We're supposedly fighting for freedom and against tyranny for the good of the people, and we have everybody telling you.
Yeah.
No, you are not allowed to tell the truth, or you cannot be part of our little clique.
Well, yeah, I became labeled as a goon because I associated with you, and I should be kicked off and this and that. But, you know, this is by people who don't go down there. They go to Home Depots. They go to parking lots. They don't go down there 20 feet from the border where these drug dealers are going through daily. So, you know, they got no business telling me where the hell I can go, what the hell I can do, and who I can associate with. I told him that. I said, you guys, you know, you can have your own little rules, but I tell you, I'm not going to be told who I can be friends with, who I can associate with.
You have another caller. Christy, you have another caller.
They went on to our site, my site, to spread that stuff too, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I guess I better sign off. I guess you got another.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for being here tonight because I didn't think half the people would show.
Turn that off.
You know, I've seen this from from the political side, and I got a question asked. How are we going to win doing this?
Well,
yep, that's true.
You were involved with San Diego Minutemen somewhat, Minutemen Project. I mean, you've been around all these organizations we've talked about tonight. What do you think about what's going on in the movement here?
What I think is happening is the rank and file are starting to yell at the main guys. I mean, you have these people. You get to look at the Form 990 for all these 501c3s. Where's the money going? With the amount of money they're spending, what the hell are they doing with it? And then when you ask, you get your head chopped off. You know? Okay, you want to get banned from any of these forums? Ask, what did they do with the money? You got a list? And if you tell me about that stupid freaking fence they built in freaking the middle of nowhere, I mean, are they nuts? Do they think that that's going to stop this? The Minutemen is a setup to make everybody believe that people are actually going to accomplish something. It was a PR event that got out of control. It's the government who won't do the job is the problem. And meanwhile, most of the Minutemen groups are supporting people who actually think they're nuts. As long as they can give their 20 or 50 bucks to the Minutemen and they're going to do something, they think that nothing's going to get done. Okay? The people you think are on your side have for years been selling you out. They're crooked. The congressmen are crooked. The Democrat congressman and the Republican congressman are crooked. You have to have transparency in what's going on. You have to have a board. You have to have people voting on stuff. You have to say, hey, what are we going to do next week? This is a board of one with one dictator who was self-appointed and can't be removed from office. This guy makes Hugo Chavez look like a freaking liberal.
Which guy are you talking about, John Doe?
Schwilk.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the Minutemen Project. You had a board, didn't have a board, and then had a board again.
Will Gilchrist Simcox. Who voted them in?
Yeah.
You're telling me the first guy on the border gets to be president? Is that how he works? Is that how it works now? I'll tell you what. These guys shouldn't be in charge of a lemonade stand. Okay? I mean, the money that they've wasted, they could have been the biggest political arm of any, thing they wanted. They had thousands of people. If those people were all precinct workers, they would have real political clout. They expect to be told what's going on, and when they find out what's going on, they'll go nuts because they have stuff invested. People want to spend their 20 or 50 bucks and think they're getting something done. All they're getting is fleeced.
What type of organization or lack thereof did you experience with the Minutemen? I mean, tell us why you never really joined.
Well, you would go to these things, and they would be, I could see from the get-go that basically other people would do stuff, and then Schwilk would come in and then rip it off. You know, he would go in and then be the big Mahoff in front of the thing. So you could see that, like, even those rallies down at the McGonagall Canyon with all the illegal aliens in the canyons, they were set up by other people, and then this guy would show up and hog the friggin' camera. I mean, now, I got a story. Schwilk went to Washington, D.C. There's a lady named
Melanie Courtline.
Your daughter died. I helped her out. I said, okay, they're going to do bad things to you in PR. They're going to use you. They're going to do this stuff. And, of course, Schwilk they used her to get in to talk to a congressman, and then he wouldn't let her talk.
Yeah.
He called me in tears.
They did that with the mayor. She even emailed me and said, Christy, they used me. Why didn't you tell me? And then tried talking to me at that sanctuary church movement I went to go film, where Schwilk said I wasn't allowed to be on the sidewalk, and told Melanie Courtlang she was not allowed to be on the same side of the street if she talked to me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Melanie Courtlang is one of those people that has paid a price more than anybody else in the world. She has a right to talk anywhere, anytime, any place. Mm-hmm. And I will fight anybody that has her, I will hassle. Because she's paid the ultimate price. She lost her daughter.
Yeah.
And for him to use her to get some political clout or to get into something, and, man, what kind of low-class bastard is that?
I know. I want to have her on the show, but maybe she's not allowed to talk to me.
Well, she's told. I was at her daughter's memorial thing.
Uh huh.
She goes out every year on that thing, and I'm telling you, some of the spookiest things. It was a really spooky thing. She was on there, and her badge, I was videotaping, it popped straight off, and it was buttoned. It was really weird.
Okay, then I want to know, through your experience, why do you think they chose me? Because that's something I had a hard time with. Why would any? How am I a threat? I mean, why?
High visibility.
Why they chose me.
I'll tell you
high
why.
Visibility.
Because if there's 50 Minutemen and Christy there, the media's going to talk to you.
Yep.
Okay. The Minutemen could be on fire and they wouldn't talk to them. Okay. I'm sorry. You know, this whole attractive thing. You know, that's why models get paid more money than women that don't have.
I'm not getting paid.
Right.
Okay.
But they realize that it's called charisma. Some people have charisma and some people don't. And what they see the leaders, they see the natural leaders, and they take them out early, because they know that somebody like you, let's face it, every time they hit you and you call out, more people join you. They're idiots. It's like making a martyr. These people are stupid.
Nobody would know who I was if they didn't try to destroy me. I mean, that's the truth. People knew my videos, but nobody knew me or anything about me until they started the dirt drop and published me all over the country, watch out for this person. So, I mean, if somebody tells me watch out for this person, I'm going to go check that person out because, you know, I'm curious. Hey, let's check it out. How crazy is this person? And then I guess, you know, I let people figure it out on their own and wait for the truth to be presented.
Nobody who's lying would continue to do this and continue doing it. See, what they're trying to do is shut you up. If you were lying and you were crazy, and you'd shut up eventually. But you're not. And they're wrong, and only people in the right have that intestinal fortitude to continue. But most people are weak. You know, you're just not weak.
Why don't you tell the listeners how you and I came to even know each other? I mean, we had seen each other at rallies, but you were kind of quiet, and, you know, I was always flitting about. So how did we come to know each other, John Doe?
Well, here's what happened. I shot video of the Minutemen, but I never joined the Minutemen. And I'd go to these rallies and events because I didn't want to be known by them, because then I wouldn't be able to get into the other side's events, okay? And I do get into the other side's event. And I got a lot of good tape that nobody has seen yet. But it's coming out. I said, hey, why don't we put some of these tapes on TV? Jeff, why don't we do a Minuteman show? Well, you know what he said? Yes, absolutely. Took my card, never called me back. That's how they do it. They control the access points. So I blew it off. Well, about couple weeks later, I get this call that says, you know, after the Super Bowl thing, I get this call, Christy is a mad woman, she's Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction. Now, what I figured is, Christy is 6 foot blonde and very attractive, and Schwilk is a small little guy and would need a step stool to even get talk to her. And I'm thinking, that doesn't work in my mind. It's like dwarf you know, big, tall, beautiful blonde is in love with dwarf or something, you know. It doesn't work out that way. So I called Chrissy, and I said, this is what they're saying about you. What do you think? She said, I've got tapes. I've got this. I've got that. Well, I went down there. I saw the tapes. She got the links. Hey, she was telling the truth, and he wasn't. That's what I – and you know what? And when I went at – when I called – when I tried to call him, I got nothing. And when I called his little henchman, what's his name? What's his name?
Well, you had Daniel Duffield, the 19-year-old.
Calling you. 20 minutes – I had 20-minute phone calls. And like, trying to tell him, why don't you just stop this crap? Oh, she's crazy, and she needs to be run. I said, no, you did it. You should apologize. You should not – I mean, I'm sorry, but women – you should not punch women. I don't know how you're going to get away with this. You go to jail. If I punch a woman, I'm going to jail. I don't know how he got away with it.
In fact, you were there in court. What happened there?
Oh, well, you know, basically what he said in court, the judge laughed at.
So did we.
I mean, it was just insane. You know, it was like this person and this and it, and they went through the thing, and it was just the judge said, you don't have enough for, you know, for nothing. Get out. You know, go home. And he even started to pop off, and the judge sat him back down and said, Mr. Schwilk, if you give me any more lip, basically, you're going to be, you know, a ward of the state.
Oh,
you know,
my God, his face was beat red.
Christy, you have a call from California. Christy, you have a call from California.